Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Father, would you watch over this word to perform it today? God, would you be glorified in anything that we could say? Would you let our eyes focus on you and our hearts, you know, just look at you, God. Jesus be the name. Thank you for today, God. Whew. Happy New Year, guys. You know, I want you to just sit back and get real comfortable because I got a real lighthearted message for you today. I know, it's still not like me. We started with reverence at the end of the year, and don't think I didn't forget. We're going to go back right back to it next week. But for today, I just have this lighthearted message of hope that I feel like it's the word of the Lord for us, for right now. If you're going to do anything new this year, start at the beginning of the year. If you're going to do anything new in the beginning of the year, start at the beginning of the day. There's something about the beginning. And it is an easier time for strategies to come into play. There's an ease to it. The calendar provides that. God gives us the word of the Lord that his mercy is new every day. I think Stacy said that earlier. So every morning you wake up, it's a fresh day. It's a new day, a new opportunity to do something different than you did yesterday, right? So I wanted the first thing I said to you to be that Jesus loves you. And God is truly, madly, you know, deeply in love with you. But I want the second thing to be congratulations that you survived the scourge of 2025. As did I. And every year begins to feel that way. And I think it will continue to feel that way until we see him now. Because nothing can satisfy now. Now that we've tasted and we've seen that he's good, there's just nothing else. Nothing else is going to cut it. Nothing else is going to bring that hope and joy and glory. And so, good job. You made it. It was another crucible of life. And you know what I believe? That every single part of it was necessary for what God has in store for those who love him. I want to be acquainted with you, Lord. You know, I was driving in this morning with Jessie, which explains why I was later than usual. And she played this song that was like, and it has a phrase in it that says, I want to know you, teach me your sufferings. Steph Gretzinger, I want to know your sufferings. I'm like, I'm not singing this. Not today, because I know that something happens when we know the suffering of the Lord. And for all of us, I mean, we've suffered. So we have. Everybody suffers. We just suffer differently than the person we're sitting next to. But everybody goes through a suffering. And might we live through it another time that God might be glorified? We will, and we shall. And so, third, I just want to speak hope to us in this room for 2026 that this would be a banner year. Dare I say that after I've said it the last couple of years, you know? And it wasn't like a horrible year. It wasn't horrible. I thank God for every single piece of it, everything that we've gone through and everything that's been difficult and everything that was a trial and all the tens of thousands of dollars that we spent on missions and on this very building that we can come in and worship God in. I'm just grateful for him, you know. Everybody could list their trouble. Everybody could list what was difficult. But you know what we could, if we just shift a little piece of that and we start to challenge our challenges and we start to doubts and we start to focus on him who has redeemed us and called us by name, it looks different. It's the same life, but it looks different. Can anybody testify with me? You know it's true. I think the message of hope is that we don't have to live a life that is inferior to us. And we shouldn't. We don't have to be unhappy. And there's no reason to stay unhappy. There was a quote, you know, Abraham Lincoln, he just walked around the planet saying phenomenal things. And one of the things is, I imagine in life most people are about as happy as they choose to be. What if happiness is a choice? Clap your hands if you feel like happiness is for you. You know, when I'm feeling like crabby, down, horrible, I'll put that song on in the car and I will sing it and I will make myself rejoice. So what Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. Yeah, you can walk around and stay sad and grumpy. You know what? You're messing up your own internal organs. You can walk around with a pouty face and choose to be offended and angry. It is a choice. But there's no reason that we have to stay mad, sad, bad. It's possible to create a life that you love, and that's what I want to talk about today. Listen to this scripture. Proverbs 17. You know, in our Bible reading, I know it's a little bit overwhelming. I'm like, Lord, what are the takeaways? There's like 72 takeaways from today's reading. I think I'll just pick my top two and put them in here. You know, and those of you who are reading the Bible through this year with us, if you want to do that and you haven't signed up yet, get a hold of Scott. He'll show you how to go through the process. And it's awesome. But in there, we're going to read some Psalms and some Proverbs along with Old and New Testament reading. And I love that. It's such a balance of scripture to carry the whole year. And it is a lot. What else are you doing? What else you got to scroll through? Go ahead and spend 30 minutes in the Word. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to help you. So listen to this proverb. It says, an intelligent person, I'm reading from a Jerusalem Bible is what it's called. I just started looking at it at the beginning of the year, and I really like it. And unlike Scott, I will be sticking with my digital 72 Bibles that I have right here. Scott's going to be reading from his actual Bible this year. And I love that. And he is doing it. And it's very old and very heavy. I see it laying out on the table. And I'm like, he's so much better than me, Lord. Lord, I'm going to go read on my phone right now. And so here's the scripture. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Don't we do that? Are we fools? No, we're not. We have the mind of Christ. So I'm praying for us that we won't start off in 100 different directions or even 5, but maybe one. Maybe we can lean into one thing that God has been speaking and we can move toward that. And I don't mean in a New Year's resolution way. I mean in a resolve that that's who we are from now on. I don't want to run in a lot of directions. Let's hone in on what God is saying. Let's hear what the Lord is speaking to us. And I wanted to give us the ABCs of following God in the new year. All right? It's a happy look. I can get up here and preach deliverance every week. Don't worry. Today I want to speak about hope and speak about the love of God and how he can make it so simple that we can remember A, B, C, D as we move around, you know, our world after we leave here today. So Father, open our hearts to this word and help us to understand what you're saying and help us to receive it. And so if you want to create a life that you actually love, the first thing you have to do is you have to accept responsibility for the life that you have. You have to accept the responsibility for the life that you're living right now. And in order to do that, there's two things that have to happen. You have to stop blaming someone else, and you have to stop making excuses. And so I know that sounds like a pretty solid and firm line, but it's so clear. It's so obvious if you think about it. Who have you been blaming for your sadness and misery and dissatisfaction? Because I hear you talking, you know. When a saint of the Lord speaks another saint's name out of their mouth, I'm like, whoa, did you Matthew 18 that first? Did you go and make that right with somebody else before you brought that name to my ear? Because I can't carry that. That's for you to carry. And so who are you blaming for what you do? There's another way you could say it. Don't blame what I do on me, Pastor. I'll let that sink in. Don't blame what I do on me. You have to. You got to accept responsibility. It doesn't matter how lighthearted of a message I try to preach, it comes out with a lot of passion. I don't know. But I believe this is from the Lord. You have to accept responsibility for the life that you're living. Listen to this. We make so many excuses for what we're going to do. You know, if you go to the gym regularly and you have a rhythm and you have a, you know, you have your equipment that you use, you have a routine. I'm not saying that I do this. I'm saying I have done it in the past. And when you go at the beginning of the year, it's crowded. And you're crabby. You got to walk real far. I mean, you go there to exercise. It shouldn't matter. But usually you can just pull right in. You know, you can't get on your machines. You got to wait in line. People are on their phone on a machine. It's like, don't worry. That's just the beginning. That'll wane off in a couple weeks. You can get your machine back. Because that's what we do. We make excuses and we blame somebody else for why we can't become what we want to become and what we want our life to be. So if that's you, you know, grab onto it. I am responsible for me and what I do. I know there are circumstances, if you're a child, that are beyond your control. Your parents, you know, you're going to pray for your parents Do you know that there was a time where Stacy wanted to go to England on a missions trip? She was about 14. And I was like, girl, you can't even bring your homework home in this country. There's no way you're going on a mission trip. And you know what she did? She went over my head to the Lord. And she asked the Lord, send me, show me how to get there, Lord. And she went and got herself a map from her youth pastor who was very rebellious. And he told her, draw a line around it, Stace, pray. Put the map on the wall, and circled St. Louis and circled England and drew a red line. And I heard my child praying, what is your will for me, God? And will you change my parents' heart? Did you know what happened to me? That changed my mind and changed my life. So there's something you can do in the spirit that forbids any excuse from settling on you, and you move forward in what God's called you to do, and you stop blaming someone else, and you stop making an excuse. Letter A. The proverb for that particular thought is, lazy people stay at home, and they say, a lion might get me if I go outside. You can make an excuse, or you can make good, but you get to choose it, okay? Letter B, believe you can change. Believe that you can change. Accept where you're living and then believe you can change. A, B, C, D, okay? The person who says I can change and the person who says I can't change are both right. I just want to read us a little bit from Philippians 4. And then I just put it for the whole text because, I mean, it's Paul. You know, and it's talking about how to live, how to be different, how to change. You know, Paul's letters, when you're reading through them, they have similar ideas and themes, but then they get specific. And there's some specific things in here that I want us to lean into and listen to for this beginning of the year. It's pertaining to how do I make it different, Lord? So Paul writes, he says, hey, my brothers and dear friends, I miss you so much. You are my joy and my crown. Hold firm in the Lord, dear friends. I urge Judea and I urge Syntech. These are all women, by the way. I urge Judea and I urge Syntech to come in agreement with each other in the Lord. And I ask you, Sisgis, I thought about naming my youngest child Sisgis, and then I went ahead with Jesse. But it says, I really want you to be a partner and help these women because they've struggled hard for me. They've struggled hard for the gospel with me, alongside Clement and all my other fellow workers whose names are written in the book. Number one, you know, is there something going on that needs a resolve relationally? Because right here in this little book of Philippians, I urge you, make it right. I urge you to do it. Go and make it right. Stop making an excuse and stop blaming. And you know what? You're not responsible for outcomes. You're only responsible for the portion you hold to go and get the work done. Oh, that's good preaching, Lisa. I needed that word of the Lord for the beginning of the year. He says, always be joyful then. And again, I repeat it, be joyful. Let your good sense be obvious to everyone. The Lord is near. These are powerful words. I mean, you could mic drop on every single one of these. The Lord is near. Never worry about anything. Tell God your desires of every kind in prayer and petition, shout through with gratitude. And the peace of God, which is beyond our understanding, will guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, let your minds be filled with everything that's true and everything that's honorable. Now he's talking about how you think. You know, the first thing is about how you act. The second thing is about how you think. You know, let my thoughts come about on what is pure, what's upright, things that we love and admire, and whatever is good and praiseworthy. And verse 9, keep doing everything you learned from me and were told by me and have heard or seen me doing. And you know what'll happen if you obey the Lord? The God of peace will be with you. And as for me, I'm full of the joy in the Lord that at last your consideration for me has blossomed again, though I recognize that you really did have consideration before, but you had no opportunity to show it. You know what he's talking about right here? He's saying, you guys haven't sent me an offering in a while, and you haven't tithed in a while. You haven't been with me, but when I first started this work, you did, and it was only you. And I'm thankful that you did that, and I'm glad that you're doing it again. It's about giving. How can we not get away from that? The only person that bothers is if you're stingy. Because if you could have a little and give a little. You can have a lot and give a lot. You could have a lot and give a little. You could have a little and give a lot. It's all about the posture of heart. You can't get away from it. I mean, it's everywhere. I'm really glad that you took an opportunity to send me an offering again. He goes, I don't say this because I've lacked anything, verse 11. I've learned how to manage whatever I have. I feel you. I know how to live modestly. I know how to live luxuriously too. In every way, I've mastered the secret of all conditions. Full stomach, empty stomach, plenty, poverty. There's nothing I cannot do in the one who strengthens me. Or you might know it like, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't it kind of cool to read it in a different translation? It's like, wow, I've never even heard that before. You know? Oh, you know it's good. All the same, it was good of you to share with me in my hardships. In those early days of the gospel, as you of Philippi well know, when I left Macedonia, no church other than you made a common account with me, no matter in the matter of my expenditures and receipts. You were the only ones. And what is more, you've twice sent me what I needed in Thessalonica. And you get what I'm saying? Paul's speaking to us about our conduct. He's speaking to us about our thoughts. And he's speaking to us about our giving. And these are the things he's asking us to evaluate and to change. He gets down here in verse 21, my greeting to every one of you, God's holy people in Christ Jesus. Man, that's amazing. You got to believe that you can do it. And you're going to need a support system because you can't do it on your own. You can, but it's lonely. And you get weak, you know. Two are better than one. When one falls down, the other can lift him up. When one can't have the words or one doesn't see the vision, someone else can clear the air and speak it. Does that make sense? Letter C. Clarify what you want. Clarity. Get clear. Clean hands, pure heart, clear mind for the new year. You know, if you're still in the place of you know, accepting responsibility, that's okay. You know, if you're in the place where you have accepted responsibility and felt stuck and now you're believing God, that's okay too. Because wherever you're at, these are like the 12 steps, but there's only four that the Lord gave me for today. How can I create a life that I want to live? Do you think Jesus wants that for you? Do you think Jesus wants that for you? I do too. I do too. So clarify what you want. Listen to this. This is so poetic from Job. Job 34, it says, we can choose the sounds we want to listen to. We pick our music. We pick our own podcasting. We pick what we want to hear all day long, and we put it right in this gate. We can choose the taste we want in food. Man, you're picking what you're putting into your body every day. You have a choice to choose what comes in through your gates. But first, we have to choose and define what is right or what is good. We have the ability to choose our food, the ability to choose what we listen to. We have the ability to choose what is right. But first, we must define what is good. And I mean, what is good? Because people are not, I mean, in general, you know, it's like, do you believe people are generally good or generally bad? You know, I believe we're born with this sin nature. Rick gave me a thumbs down. Bad. People are bad. I believe people are doing the best they can, right? Mostly. Some people intentionally celebrate being rebellious. I can understand. But I don't think everybody has an intention to have a decline. No one wants that. I think I'll do something to ruin my financial house today. I think I'll just do something that'll make me have a heart attack. I think I'll just lie. You know, we don't just move in that direction, but we do have a sin nature. And so inside of us, we struggle consistently with what is right, what is good, what is wrong. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And the answer is the Lord. If you don't clarify what you want, somebody else will tell you what you want. The media will tell you what you want. The doom scroll of life, which is an incredible distraction. People are living like in a little vague existence, doom scrolling. It's not real. This is real. This is what we're doing right here. This is real. I can see you. You are actually sitting in this room. We are sharing space. We're sharing thoughts. We're sharing heart. We're sharing worship this morning. This is real. Okay? If you don't decide what you really want based on what God has called you to, the world will tell you what you want. And it will be lying. Because sex, drugs, and rock and roll and all that stuff, got nothing. It's got nothing. Okay? And some of us have to define what is good, and then we have to empty out a bunch of room to add in something better. There are good things in life, and you can camp out on those the rest of your life. But you got to get them out of the way to put something better and then something best in its place. And so those things have to move to the side for the better to come. You tracking with me, church? Some of us still have bad things sitting in the way and trying to pile good on top of the bad. You cannot put good on top of bad. It will fall over until the bad is out. When the bad is out, the good can come. Man, this is profound. This is deep right here. Cake or death? You shouldn't be living an inferior life. Shouldn't read inferior books. You shouldn't watch inferior television. If I watch one more poor movie, I like the... Christmas is different. I like stupid romantic comedy that's just silly. I already know the plot. I know what's going to happen in every single movie, and I still like it. My husband's like, how do you like this? I don't understand. There's football. Football's on the other channel. But only at Christmas do I love those goofy ones. I don't have any work. I'm taking a slower pace, and I enjoy that time. But we shouldn't do anything inferior, anything that's smaller than we are ever again. Amen? I just want you guys to eat this. It's like you ever seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite in your life? How many of you have seen it? Because it's not, a lot. Oh, good. Man, that was a terrible movie, guys. How many times did you watch it? You know, we watched it a lot, too. It became like a cult film or something. Well, there's a place where Napoleon's trying to feed the llama because they have pet llamas. Tina, you fat lard, eat the food. Eat the food. And he slops it on the ground. Man, but sometimes it's like when you're up here, you're like, eat the food, you know, take it. But I can't do that part. I can give you a fork, though, and I can offer the plate, and then you got to eat it, right? I pray this is something that you eat and it tastes good, and you let it go all the way down in, and you don't make one more excuse, and you don't blame one more person for where you're living right now. And you believe God that you don't have to live in it, that you can actually overcome and take a step up. And then you get a clarity of mind for direction, for what is the thing that God has called you to do. Corinthians is a great verse for the beginning of the year, because Corinthians 10:23, everything is permissible, but everything isn't good for you. Get out of the inferior. Come on over. Why don't you just make a declaration? I am done with sin. I'm done with it. I am done with sin. It's got no hold on me. It doesn't even entertain me anymore. Out. It's over. It's inferior. It's an inferior quality to what God has called me to be. There's a couple more. I'm convinced, I'm fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in and of itself. Do you understand what I'm telling you? That as a child of God, a daughter of the King, you can do anything you want. You belong to Him. You have all the liberty in the world. But there are some things you would never do because you're a daughter of the King. And you're bought with a price and you belong to Him. I'm not my own. I don't get to pick what I do. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother's distressed by what you eat, then you're no longer acting in love if you eat it right in front of him. This is like, Scott, I probably can't even eat bread in front of him, ever. Isn't that ridiculous? Galatians 5, you brothers, you're called to freedom, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for flesh. Rather serve one another in love. You know, there was a time where, you know, I had learned that I had lived under such a religious doctrine and a controlled environment in the church that I grew up in, but I didn't recognize the difference because I love you, Mom, but my home was really controlling like that. You know, my mom learned how to control, so being controlled by the pastor and the leaders, it was just kind of a normal thing that I went into, you know, and so when I came out of that and went out into a church planting mission in California and Colorado, where I got all my tattoos and had my little rebellious streak as a Christian, you know, I learned some things that just because I have a freedom doesn't mean I have to use it, you know? And I was sitting with a group of college students and they wanted to go to a brewery. And so there was beer ordered and I was there. I didn't order beer. I did drink a half a beer with the girl. And man, I was crucified by that. I was filleted by that pastor over that. And I thought, man, what a religious punk, you know? And I just had all these thoughts. But as I've grown, do you know how sorry I am that I did that? I shouldn't have done that. My freedom shouldn't compromise someone else, you know? If I'm free, then I'm free indeed. So I have to know the room and know where I'm at. You know, some of this I'm talking about because it just speaks about conviction. get clarity on what is the next thing that we're supposed to be doing and hone in on that and leave those things behind that are inferior. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, and right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, why don't you think about that? Those are the powerful verses that lead us into a new year. And I mean, A, B, C, D. Accept responsibility, believe you can change, get clarity, and then do it. Don't wait. You know, ideas, man, an idea is just a thought until you act on it. You got to act on it. Man, I really want to lose weight this year. So do I. But it's just a thought unless I get rid of carbs and start moving this body, right? You have to act on what the dream is. And I don't mean just physical things. Like, look, there's only one person who we can even look at who can give us an example, and it's Jesus. I'll get to that in just a second. But on the don't wait, listen to this from Ecclesiastes. You know, everything, there's a time and a purpose under heaven. It's another beautiful poetic piece. From the Living Bible, though, it says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. I'm going to do that one day or someday. I'm just going to tell you, someday is never. If you're thinking you'll do it someday, you'll do it never. Go do it today. And every day after that, do one thing in the direction of it. And hone in and focus and get it done until it's done. Does that make sense? The time to act at the beginning of the year. So, you know, Jesus, there's one little scripture. I was like, how do we tie all this together and follow you in it, Jesus? These ABCs of how to get through a new year. Jesus is one scripture in Luke 2. It says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. That's four things that Jesus is doing. He's going to grow mentally, physically, spiritually, and relationally in that one little tiny verse. And so I want us to ask ourselves a couple questions. Did you write them down? Are they on one slide? Okay, look, you just put it up there. I want you to start to ask yourself, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. How do I want to grow in wisdom this year? What do I want to learn? Because I am smart, and I have the mind of Christ, and I'm doing kingdom things. What do I want to learn? And then, you know what? Believe that you can learn it, and then get clarity about it, and then, you know what? Do it. Love you. Number two, how do I want to improve my physical health? As Jesus grew in his stature, you're growing in yours too. Your body is made to, you know, last 70 years, 90, 100 if you're lucky. Somebody told me they met somebody that was 104 recently. Who was that? Was that you, Ange? Somebody was telling me they met somebody that was 104. I was like, 104? Wow, that's awesome. If I live to be 104, I want to be spry, walking and in clarity of mind. But I'll take it. But we're only, even at 104, that's all you get. This thing is not meant to live past that, and it won't. So what am I doing to encourage and to make my physical health the best it can be this year? What will I add to it, and what will I take away, and what will you add to it, and what will you take away, and what is God saying? There's something I thought of, too. It's like your physical health is determined by more than nutrition and exercise, because your body will follow your mind. So your mental capacity has to get well. You have to allow the Lord to come in and speak truth and life to your mental faculties. You get that? If you think negatively and you're looking at the flesh all the time, man, you're going to be depressed. You are. If your mind continually goes down, your body will go down. It will follow it. It'll go into like some kind of burnout fatigue. It'll go into some kind of miserable state. Scientifically, not because I said it, right? So your mind, if your mind is jealous all the time and you're constantly looking at what someone else has that you don't have and your mind is not healthy in that, you decline on the outside. Your posture even changes. Science teaches us this, not because I said it. Proverbs 17, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up your bones. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to heal our broken spirits today. Not tomorrow, right now. The power of the Lord is tangible. It's present at all times. We call on the name of Jesus. There is no other name by which we cry holy, because it heals and it saves and it delivers. I double dog dare you to speak it in the night watch. I beg you to say it whenever you're feeling threatened and afraid. It's powerful. Third question, what would deepen my relationship with God this year? Of all the things that you're going to do, you should feed this one. How will I deepen my relationship with God this year? This is 1 Peter. It says, Christ also suffered. He suffered once for sins, the righteous and the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, made alive in spirit, that he might bring us to God. Paul says it like this, man, the only thing I want you to know about me is that I know that Jesus was crucified. That's all you need to know that I know. Anything else you know about me, you just know it. Because all I want is to be known, to be acquainted with him intimately. What will you do this year that will make your relationship with God better? I'm not even going to feed you any. You already know. Clarity, go do it. Number four, ask the Lord this. Who do you want me to connect with personally this year? Guys, who do you want to connect with personally this year? Believe you can achieve it. Get clarity. Make a plan. And then go do it. Where can I serve this year? Where can I be in a community, in a room, where I'm doing something tangible that is the Lord's? The kingdom work that I can do. What is it, Lord? Help me to hone in. Help me to see it. What group do I envision myself being part of this year? You know, it doesn't have to be everything out of this church. We partner with ministries all over the place. Crisis Aid, particularly, right here in St. Louis. You know, I had lunch with Christine and Angie. I can't remember when. It was after Christmas. And in that conversation, you know, Christine was telling me that she's been serving at a soup kitchen. She hates it when I tell all the stuff because she tries real hard to be good before the Lord only. But it's such a great illustration, I have to say it. You know, of all the things that you can do and all the serving that we have to do here and everything we put our hand to, she still slips out and finds a soup kitchen. She can put something hot in the homeless person's hand. There's plenty of opportunities, but what is the clarity of mind the Lord is giving you? And won't you please do it? You're going to feel so satisfied. I love that what Marianne said. Man, I feel like I'm part of something when I give. You know, when Scott and I started tithing our money, and then you'd hear, which was years ago, 50 years. It wasn't that long. How many? 38 years. I'm barely 38 years old. 38 years ago is when we started doing this, right? I remember. Don't clear your throat so loud, Johnny. It's offensive. But after we'd hear a message on tithing, after we're already tithing, then what else can we tithe? Can we tithe of our time? Everybody gets 24 hours in the day. Can I give 2.4 hours to God of the day? What about that? You know? What else could I tithe? Could I tithe? How much work do I do? 40-hour work week? Can I tithe 4 hours then back to God's work? See what I'm saying? God will give you a creative idea of what he wants you to do. Tangibly giving. What if I started to give something like, there was a time I went a whole, on two occasions, my husband's going to call me a liar, but I know it's true. On two occasions, I went a whole year and did not buy clothing or shop for myself. And what happened? You know it's true. And you know what happened at the end of the year? I had more clothes and shoes than I ever had in my life. Because what I started doing, instead of going and buying all that stuff, I started giving things away. I started giving away. Everything I gave away, I would get a bag back, you know. Everything I would give, jewelry, perfume, clothes, I just started giving it to people. And God started to challenge me. Why don't you give some away, like every week? In the church I grew up in, there was a real culture of giving. I want that so bad. I keep trying to sow and keep trying to give and keep doing it until people can see it. And they're like, oh, wow, it really is more fun to give than to receive. So good. Listen to this. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. This is from 1 Peter also. Your gifts are not for yourself. Your gifts are for other people. What? What did she just say? Whatever you're good at in the kingdom, whatever you're good at naturally, it is not for you. You don't minister to yourself. Man, maybe you should. Maybe we should do that too. But your gifts are on you. They're tangibly part of who you are, that the body of Christ might be lifted and ministered to, and not even to mention the world. Lastly, willpower is small. Willpower can get you started, but pretty soon the will loses its power. Hence why the gym gets empty in a couple weeks. Just hang in there, okay? But his power never fails. It never fades. It doesn't run out. And if we can tap into it, we'll be able to easily accept responsibility for our lives. We'll be able to completely understand and believe that we can do it, that we can live a life worthy of his name. We'll get a clarity of mind like we haven't had before, and we won't wait. Do not delay. Do it. You can stand up with me. Listen, there's other helpful things to have a joyful and prosperous new year and to follow the ABCs. And here's some of the things. Get in this Bible reading program. Lisa, I know I can't do it. I will never make it. Look, I already had to do a makeup day, and it's only January 4th or whatever it is. 4th, 5th. I already had to do a makeup day on the 4th. Okay. You're going to do makeup days. Sometimes you're just going to hit catch me up. But try. Yeah. Good grief. Try. You know. Don't gonna do it. Just going to sit back down. Do it. Lean in. Get clarity of mind. There's something about the doom scroll that has to come off of us and off of our lives. That's not who we are. We don't live in there, guys. We don't live in our devices. And here's something really big that we're going to do is we're going to do 21 days of prayer and fasting. Man, you guys like that. I could tell. I could feel it. Everybody loves to fast. You love to fast. Raise your hand. One skinny person. But here's the thing. Fasting is good for the soul. Now, if you go on Foursquare Church, the first thing on there is the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And you can sign up for the emails. It starts tomorrow. Okay. Now look, if you're not ready to fast, you don't have to do it. You can do the fast I'm going to put out. Easy. Me and Scott are going to full fast. We're not going to eat any food. We're not going to eat any food for 3 days, maybe five. He'll eat protein and stuff. If you need a little broth, you can have that. Anything that's clear, you can have. Okay? And every time I would sit down to eat, I'm going to sit down at the word or worship. That's what we're going to do. I know it's hard. And plus, you guys work. You got jobs. I get it. Brittany goes, what? Listen, just listen. Sign up for the emails so you get a scripture every day, okay? Maybe you skip one meal, not three. Maybe you just don't have to have seven meals tomorrow. Maybe you could just have one or two. And skip one meal. And when you were going to eat food, eat the word. Eat it. Let it fill your soul. Let it nourish the inside of you. This thing is temporary. It can be hungry for a second. It's not going to hurt it. And something about physical hunger creates spiritual hunger. That's what I like about fasting. It'll make me hungry for him. And it'll give me an insight and a perception and a perspective I didn't have before I did it, before I fasted. So sign up for the emails. You'll get them every day. They're devotionals. They're good. See if you can find your pastor in there anywhere. Okay, now besides that, if you just can't fast food, can you fast the television? Can you just do it for 3 weeks? You can record anything you want, and you can find anything you want in 3 weeks. But 3 weeks could change your life. It could help you accept responsibility for the life that you're living, and it could help you to believe you could change it. It could give you clarity of mind to be able to do it, do what God's called you to do. It really could. It really works. Now, this little slide, do we have that one, Tam? So this is a Daniel fast, okay? This is a simple... Look, go Google it. It's so easy. This means you can eat whatever, eat all day, but only eat this. Only eat 12 ingredients, okay? Only eat that for 3 weeks. And every time you're not having cake or sugar or something fried and delicious or pizza, go have that today. Go have it, because you're gonna want it in a couple days. The first 3 days are hard. After that, it's not hard to fast. But your insights will open up, okay? And I know you guys, there's sometimes I finish this and you guys are like, yeah! And there's sometimes I finish it and you guys are like, oh my God. And this is that, okay? And I realize that. But you can do it. If you got to go to work every day, I'm not asking you not to eat. I'm just asking you to seek the Lord while he may be found, that he could speak something to your life. And the testimonies that are going to come out of this, the words that people will get, the things that God will speak, life might not even look like this in a year from now, based on what we can hear him speak, if we'll just seek him, okay? So I'm going to pray over us, and I'm going to let us get out of here this morning. And I encourage you to eat something that you really want to eat today, as you will not be eating what you want to eat for if you... Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for a time such as this that we're born, that we're on planet Earth right now. Your direction, your perspective, your intention. Father, would you use our lives to glorify you? Would you put reverence back into our midst, that we honor you, God, that we understand that the things that you think are holy actually are. Father, would you clean us? Would you clean our minds and our hands, our double-mindedness, and help us to walk in a narrow path, not the broad one that leads to destruction, but the skinny one that's hard. Help us to stick on it that we might look at your face one day. And Father, give us a grit to lean in for 3 weeks and see what you want to say to us. Food fasting, phone fasting, whatever it is, speak your life to us, Father. We expect great things from you, and we thank you for your hope and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.